All right, you guys can have a seat. Thanks for having us today. You guys can have a seat. I want to thank you all for coming to chapel today. I know you had no choice in the matter, but if you guys can turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 1, Daniel chapter number 1, we'll get right into this morning, get you guys out at a good time to get to your class by 12:15, hopefully. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 6, it says, "Now among these were of children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah Abednego." We're going to look at the life of Daniel this morning, but I want to focus on this morning talking to you guys about defining moments in life. Now, praying, we'll get into the message this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us to chapel this morning. Thank you for, Lord, all of these students and staff and faculty that you have called to your work, Lord. I pray that as we look into your word today, Lord, that you can help us find truths in your word, Lord, that help us make us more fit for your service, Lord, that we can be better servants of Christ for you. I pray that you bless us, be with us today. In your name we pray, amen. You know, in life, we have a lot of defining moments in life. You know, some of you in the next couple of weeks are going to go through your midterms, and you're going to be glad to see as you walked into the academic office, finally, your name on that board to get your cap and gown. And I think about graduation day as that's a defining moment of your life, a day that it's kind of the culmination of your accomplishments. It's you finally reaching that point to say, this is a defining moment here. I've completed my college years. I've completed what I've done. But you know, somebody just doesn't decide one day, you know, today I'm going to graduate. I've never heard of somebody walking into Dr. Sudfield's office and say, "Dr. Sudfield, I think I've been here long enough. I'm ready to graduate. Where's my cap and gown?" Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Graduation day is a defining moment, but that defining moment only comes after those long nights of chapter summaries that you decided to do last minute. Those, the long lines at the business office to ask Brother Zarsky to just keep you another month, you know? It's the long days of studying and going to class, chapel, class, and off to work. And that graduation day is not just a defining moment, it's a culmination of all those different things having to happen, of actually waking up and passing your classes and taking that test and studying and reading the Old and New Testament and doing all those things that you need to do to graduate, to finally getting to that defining moment. I think about a defining moment in my life was the day I got married. Praise the Lord. I hope some of you are working on that this week during the Valentine's banquet. But I can think of that defining moment as I stood at the main auditorium of our church and I watched my wife walk down the aisle, and I think, man, this is a defining moment of my life. I'm never going to have to be alone again. But do you know what? That I didn't just wake up one day and find my wife and say, "Hey, let's get married." She would have been like, "Get away from me, creepo." No, that was a culmination of letters. I can bring you boxes of letters in my house of letters that I wrote, me and my wife wrote each other. Phone calls and text messages and planned out dates and Christmas lights and Valentine's banquets and harvest fests and all those different things that had to happen. Saving up money for an engagement ring. But all those different things had to happen for me to get to that defining moment. I'll give you one more illustration. You think about an athlete. Those athletes that stand up and hold up the trophy. You know, those men that play in the NBA, I remember watching Kobe Bryant interviews where he would say that, man, I wake up earlier than everybody else so I can train 6, 7, 8 times a day, just shooting a ball into a basket. And the number of hours that he would dribble a ball or shoot a ball into a basket just to have that defining moment of holding up that championship trophy. You know, if I decided today that I was going to win the NBA championship, some of you recently found out that ain't going to happen, okay? I ain't going to win no NBA championship, that's for sure. I might last 2 minutes out there, maybe less, okay? But that championship only comes to those athletes that spend hours in the gym, hours training, just to hold up a trophy. Think of, I love the New York Yankees, and I remember watching Aaron Judge just following him hitting that record this year. That home run record, and think of the hours he spent. The hours he spent swinging a baseball bat to get that record. And that was a defining moment in his life. He got the record. He got the AL home run record. Great, good for him. But this morning, when I talk about defining moments, I'm not talking about those defining moments in your life like a graduation or maybe a marriage altar or maybe a day that someday, hopefully, you can hold up that HAC championship trophy if you're here. The defining moments I'm talking about today are the points at which the essential nature or character of a person is revealed or identified. There's defining moments that you're going to get in your life where what's on the inside is going to come out, is going to be revealed. And this morning, as we go through the book of Daniel, I just want to show you guys defining moments in Daniel's life. Defining moments that you could probably ask a 5-year-old in Sunday school what those moments are. They could probably list you a couple of them. But I want to look at these defining moments in Daniel's life. But those defining moments were only, Daniel only got through those defining moments was because of the daily decisions he made. So when I talk about defining moments this morning, let me tell you this. Your defining moments of your life are going to be determined by your daily decisions. The decisions you make today are going to factor in of what happens to you when that defining moment comes, when that trial of your life comes, when that moment of your life where you feel like things are falling apart and you don't have the answer. Your daily decisions today are going to determine how you get through those moments and those defining moments of your life. But I want you guys to look here at Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Daniel here was taken from Judah. He was taken from Israel as a slave, as a captive, when they got invaded by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was brought into Babylon, and they started choosing things for him. They chose a lifestyle for him that he needed to live. Put him amongst the eunuchs. They chose a new name for him. They put all these things in front of him and said, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and we're going to tell you what you're going to do in this heathen land, and you're just going to have to cooperate with us. You're just going to have to become one of us. And Daniel said no. Daniel said no. In verse number 8, Daniel says, but in Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel made a decision that day. See, the defining moment in chapter 1 is him standing before the king, and the king seeing that Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than everybody else. That was the defining moment. But the reason that Daniel got through that defining moment and stood before the king 10 times better than everybody else was because Daniel made a decision to stick to his convictions. He made a decision to stick to his conviction because when it was time for him to compromise and to go with the heathen way, Daniel said, do you know what? I'm going to stick to my convictions, and God's going to bless me for that, and there's nothing you're going to tell me otherwise. And listen, there's going to be a defining moment, probably in America, probably in your lifetime, in your ministry, where you're going to have to either stand for the truth of God's word or you're going to have to compromise. And I hope in that day that you make a daily decision while you're in Bible college that this is what I believe. This is my conviction. This is where I'm going to stand, and I'm not going to cross that line. Oftentimes, you see people go through Bible college, and they never decide truly for themselves what they believe, and they listen to one podcast, and boom, their whole ministry is going in a different direction. They decide what they've learned that their entire life just doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't apply to them. But Daniel kept to his convictions. Let me tell you something right now. Convictions aren't a bad thing, young people. Sometimes our generation of people, and I'll put you in my generation, sometimes we look at convictions like it's a bad word, like it's some old school concept, and we want to just discuss it, and we want to theorize about it. No, all convictions are things that help keep your testimony. They're safeguards that help keep your testimony. While you go through your relationship, so many young people, even in Bible college, miss out on the ministry because the relationship goes the wrong way because you haven't even made a decision what the boundaries are in your relationship. You go to the Valentine's banquet with some girl, you want to visit her for the holidays without deciding what your boundaries are in your relationship, where your convictions stand. And some people are living, even Bible college students, on the tightrope of their testimony about to fall off because they're just saying, well, we'll just see what happens. Yeah, I'll go visit her over the holidays. We'll just see what happens. Knowing full well if you don't say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do in this situation, this is what I'm going to do in this situation, this is what I'm going to do in this situation, and already pre-planning what your responses are going to be, it's going to be a lot harder for you to fall. Young people, it's important to have convictions in your life. What do you live for? Where's the line in your life? Where do you say this is the line of my morals and I'm not going to cross it? I'm going to live honestly with integrity. I'm going to do what's right. But we got to live by our convictions. Daniel made it through that defining moment in his life because he stuck to his convictions. That's chapter 1. Let's turn over to chapter number 2. Nebuchadnezzar has a crazy dream. And like many of us have funny dreams, and then we forget them completely. So Nebuchadnezzar says, I had a dream. These guys are like, great, I want you to interpret it. But he says, not only do I want you to tell me what my dream means, I need you to tell me what I dreamed, because I forgot it. Great, perfect. And Nebuchadnezzar got so frustrated that he even threatened to kill everybody if nobody could give him an answer. Everybody in Daniel's little group that he existed in Babylon. And Daniel's friends came to them look at verse number 17 of chapter number 2. It said, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He said, guys, listen, if we can't figure out Nebuchadnezzar's dream, this guy's going to kill us. This guy's going to kill us. Now, all of us know the end of the story. Daniel comes up with the dream. That's the defining moment. The defining moment here in chapter number 2 is Daniel gets that word of the Lord, and he provides Nebuchadnezzar with his answer. But what decision did Daniel make to get that answer? And you see here in verse number 17, it ends with, it says, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Verse number 18 says that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know what got Daniel through that defining moment in chapter number 2? I'll sum it up with this. Daniel had companions that helped him get a hold of God. You know what I'm glad Daniel had that day? Because in Daniel's life, you know, all of us know the end of the story. But in this moment in time in Daniel's life, if you put yourself in his shoes, Daniel was in a life or death situation. If God did not reveal the secret, if God did not reveal the secret to Daniel, there would not be the rest of the book of Daniel or the prophecy of Revelation. It wouldn't be there. But the reason that Daniel got it was because he had him and his group of friends, his companions, that sought the Lord together. Let me ask you something this morning. When you get through your defining moment, some of you are going to fail in your defining moment because of the companions you hang around. You know, I heard a quote, it's better to be alone than in bad company. Well, that's pretty good. But some of you, if your defining moment was determined on whether or not you kept good companions and your companions were people that encouraged you and pushed you towards the Lord, some of your defining moments would be in a tough spot right now. Because let me tell you this, the truth of the matter is that some of the people sitting next to you in chapel this morning have your heart more than the people on this platform. The people sitting next to you in chapel today, you hold their opinion in higher regard than the people that teach your classes every day. And if you listened to their opinion when that defining moment came, a lot of us would hear a lot of negativity, a lot of criticism. But you just got to be real with yourself and ask yourself, are my friends pushing me towards God or away from God? I'm afraid sometimes we're afraid to branch away from our own peer group, and the peer pressure is just too much that we'd rather live in spiritual mediocrity than actually just break apart and get a hold of God for ourselves. You know, if one thing I'm glad about in college is I had a group of friends that I got a text at 12 o'clock, a friend of mine out in California who I sat in chapel with. Hey man, what's the dates of your conference? I need to get teenagers out to Hammond. And he's just plugging away, serving God. Friends of mine that I went to college with, great assistant pastors and missionaries and starting churches and doing all these things. And I'm now co-laborers with them in the ministry. But I'm saying, do you know what? I'm glad I sat in chapel with those guys because those are the guys that pushed me to have a walk with the Lord. Those guys weren't afraid to tell me when I was doing wrong and kind of slap me up the head a little bit. Those guys pushed me to do more on the weekends and reach people and influence people for Christ. I was glad I had those friends, and I'm benefiting a lifetime because of them. But if you are serious with yourself, how is your friends helping your future ministry today? How are they helping your spirit? Are they helping you get a hold of God in your life? Or are they bringing you down? Some of you need to evaluate that in your own life. Chapter number 3, quickly. Chapter number 3, verse number 16. Daniel's companions get themselves in their own little pickle here. They build a great statue they're supposed to bow to, and they don't comply. And they have to stand up for their faith. And just a great verse here, if you look in verse number 17 of chapter number 3, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. These guys were courageous for God. These guys stood up for their faith. And listen, the defining moment's going to come. Their defining moment was that fiery furnace, but I'm glad in that moment that they had faith in God, that God was going to take care of them. Hey, college student, that defining moment is going to come where you're going to feel like I got no money in the bank account. I got no answers. There's going to be situations in your life, maybe it's a health problem, but you're going to say I can't see any single situation where this is going to work out in favor of me. Even in college, students that are just on the verge of quitting, they feel like there's no path forward for them. Let me just tell you something this morning. Have enough faith that God's going to see you through. You know, God called you to Bible college before you knew you were going to have financial problems. God called you to Bible college before you had that breakup. Or before you had that drama back at home that's taking so much of your attention. And some of you need to stop focusing on those things and say, God, if you called me before I even got here and knew this situation was going to happen, I know you're going to see me through. But we want to focus so much on the situation rather than the God that knows all about it. And I'm glad that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had enough faith in that defining moment, because do you know who was with them in the fiery furnace? God himself. And if you're going through a situation today and you're like, oh, maybe I'm not going to, maybe I won't come back after the holidays, or trying to figure out what your exit point is. Why don't you have enough faith in God today? Enough faith in God to say, God, I know you're going to take care of it. God, I know you have the answer. God, I'm going to seek you for that answer, and I know you're going to help me through. Chapter number 4, we'll just glide through this because I want to get to chapter number 6. But chapter number 4 is about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has a defining moment of his own, and that's the moment that God broke him. God made him as an animal in the field for years until he broke him. And Nebuchadnezzar realized who the true God was. And let me tell you this, out of any defining moment of this of the book of Daniel, I never want to be in Nebuchadnezzar's situation that God has to bring me low to break me to the point that I just humble myself before God. Never want to get to that point. I want to be humble before the Lord way before God ever says, I have to bring you low. I'm just going to start down there. I'm going to stay down there. And as you guys go through and serve the Lord, it's not about you. It's about other people, and it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a side note here, we just want to stay humble and obedient to the Lord, because it's only by the grace of God that any of us are doing anything for the Lord, and God continues to do so. But if you want to look at chapter number six, and before we go to chapter number six, I'll just say briefly about chapter number 5. There's a takeover. The people that were conquering other nations are now conquered. And Daniel was taken into this land as a slave and as somebody in captivity. And the country that he's brought into now has a change in leadership. And yet, despite all the changes of leadership, literally a brand new world government, it's amazing to me to see in chapter number 6, verse number 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What a great testimony. But I'll tell you why Daniel was successful even when there was so much political turmoil and wars going on, is because he had great character. He had great character. Daniel was a real. What was on the inside, what was on the outside, and people took notice of that. You know, you can't make it far. You can't make it far in the ministry being a fake. Living one way and publicly and another way privately. And as you go through chapter 6, you see that Daniel's prayer life, his private life, was the real deal. Was the real deal. And that's something that all of us should strive for. Am I being genuine? How's my spirit? You know, all of us can dress nice. You know, I could put on a suit and tie, but how's my spirit today? How's my attitude? You know, the Bible says an excellent spirit was found in him. And you could come to class and you can wear the nice ties and look sharp and have the cufflinks and the pocket squares and whatever else, but how's your heart? How's your spirit? How are you on the inside? Because it doesn't take long for you to sit in a dorm room with somebody at 11 o'clock at night and figure out what they really think. Are you constantly negative and critical? Constantly have to look at situations and look at staff and look at situations, and it's always the negative. It's always critical. It's always this. It's always that. Rather than just looking at it and saying, you know what, God, I'm thankful to be here. But how you are on the inside. And Daniel's character showed through. Last thing I want you guys to look at today, and I'll be done. You know, Daniel's biggest defining moment was the lion's den. Everybody would probably say, what was the biggest moment in Daniel's life? Everybody would say, oh, probably the lion's den. Why did Daniel end up in the lion's den? Because these guys got him on his character. They knew he'd pray. They knew he'd do it multiple times a day. So they concocted a plan to get him caught for doing what God wanted him to do. And after the king busts him for it, and the king does not like it because he likes Daniel. The king says this in verse number 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him unto the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, I could picture him kind of looking down into the lion's den. And he said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That's the king saying that. The king, Daniel had a testimony even to the highest person in the kingdom that Daniel served the Lord continually. It was a daily thing. He had a reputation for it. Then if you look at verse number 20, it says, and when he came to the den, he cried unto the with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou continually serve able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Daniel was able to get through that defining moment because he already had that relationship with the Lord. You know, I wonder how the lion's den would have gotten if Daniel's walk with the Lord was like some of ours. Where he said, whoops, I ended up in the lion's den. Now it's time to get a hold of God. No, the reason Daniel got through the lion's den because he didn't go to God in the lion's den as a stranger. He went to God as a close friend. He said, God, let's talk just like we talk every day, three times a day. This is just another conversation. This is something that's a routine thing. This is something that's normal. But even as in Bible college, we get so distant from God, yet he's a part of every day of our lives, yet we become so distant from him. Our relationship becomes so distant because we're not worshiping and spending time with the Lord continually. Is God your 911 call? Is he your emergency stimulus package to get you to bail you out? Or is he somebody that you walk with every single day? Listen, as we go through life, we're going to go through defining moments. I don't know when yours is going to come. I don't know when yours is going to come. I don't know when you're going to get that phone call. It could be next week, it could be next year, it could be 10 years from now. But the decisions that you make today are going to determine how you get through those moments. So let me just say here in summary as we close this afternoon. How's your convictions? Where do you stand on things with the Word of God? How's your companions today? How's your faith today? Are you trusting in the Lord? How's your character today? How's your character today? And lastly, let me say this. How's your communication with the Lord? How's your relationship with Him? Is it non-existent? Or is it something that you could say, do you know what? Praise the Lord, this year, 2023, it's been pretty consistent. If it has been, you got a long year to go. And I hope that you guys get that right today and say, do you know what? I got to fix my relationship with Him first and foremost and make sure that I'm walking with Him on a daily basis. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us to chapel today. Thank you for, Lord, these students, Lord. Lord, you give us great examples in your word, Lord, of people that went through difficult situations, Lord, that we could learn so many good, Lord, spiritual truths from them to apply to our lives that can help us, Lord, just be better servants for you each and every day, Lord, as we go through life. And Lord, as we meet those defining moments in our life, Lord, I pray that you help us be who we're supposed to be today so we could be who you want us to be tomorrow. In your name we pray, amen.